It's movie time with Kevin Stein. So if you're wondering why we have a three-day weekend this weekend, it's actually President's Day, right, Kevin?
That's right, Monday.
Okay, so why don't you tell them what we're going to talk about today in honor of President's Day?
Well, we're going to talk about president movies.
Hey, fancy that.
Fictitious presidents, real presidents, whatever.
Exactly, portrayals of the President of the United States.
Right, right.
In movies.
And they can even be minor characters. They don't have to be the focus.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, awesome. I hear, though, that you have a quiz for me. Are we starting with that today?
I thought we'd talk about how you're slurring all your words today.
I am. I'm being very Joaquin Phoenix. I don't even understand. It's Friday the 13th is all I can say.
Yeah, you must have been heavily influenced by his performance. Well, if it was a performance.
I guess. I don't know.
We don't know.
Okay, why don't we tell people what we're talking about in case they missed Letterman?
Joaquin Phoenix went on David Letterman on Wednesday night. He looked like the Unabomber, as David Letterman pointed out.
Yes.
And his big bushy beard, big dark glasses, really raggy hair. And then he just slurred all his words together. David asked him some questions, and he didn't even answer them. He was like, huh?
And just staring off into space.
It was
ridiculous. Oh, it was crazy. So either he was heavily under the influence of some foreign substance.
Well, somebody who told me that they have no personal experience themselves with heroin, mm-hmm. but that they know people that were on heroin. You know that story.
Yeah.
They said they thought it was heroin, so I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel for poor Joaquin because I really, except for Gladiator, I like pretty much all of his movies. I really liked him in Signs and Walk the Line. He's a good actor.
Yeah, so in honor of him, I'll slur my words today.
But on TMZ, who is notorious for breaking big news stories, right?
Right, right.
I can't remember offhand many that they've broken except for maybe the Mel Gibson thing with mm-hmm. the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the uh-huh. world thing. They said on there that they thought that he was making some kind of mockumentary film with Casey Affleck.
Who, it's possible.
Yeah, that's to make fun of the media and how they tend to jump on stories and things like that. So mm-hmm. they set the whole thing up. But I don't know.
I don't know, because I watched it and it was really weird.
It looked pretty convincing to me.
Very convincing. So he's either the best actor in the world or the worst druggie in the world.
If he was acting, I changed my mind. I'm not going with Mickey Rourke.
As best actor?
Joaquin Phoenix is my favorite performance of the year.
Oh, man. Poor Joaquin.
I'm not even joking. Unbelievable performance. I hope he was acting.
I know,
acting.
I hope so. I'm hoping that maybe in a couple of months it'll come around. But I've been trying to look and see if anyone is breaking any information about
they're
it, and
not.
There's still nothing.
I know.
No one's even talking about it.
But it's on the blogs, and there have been some polls, you know, and the people have spoken. 84% say they think that it was an act.
I don't believe that. I saw it. I think it's real.
I don't know. I think I'm in the what did I say, 84%? I'm in the other 16% or whatever.
I think
it was for real.
I know. I think so too, and it's sad.
I know.
I'm like, don't be like your brother.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah,
I know. It's
so
sad.
About that. They're going down the same path.
Yes, they are. Okay, let's get into our path of the presidency.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a little nervous about this because you said you have a quiz for me, and it's been a while.
Oh,
so
I do have a quiz. I tried to make some of them really easy because last time you got mad at me. One of them's hard, though.
Okay. I'll give it my all.
The first one's kind of hard, and the last one's kind of hard.
Okay.
The first one, all these questions, I'm going to name the actor, and you tell me the movie they were in.
Okay,
and
so just the movie.
And hopefully the president, if it's not a fictitious president.
Okay.
You don't have to know the fiction. Okay. Ones. Number one, two movies.
Okay.
Anthony Hopkins.
He was Nixon.
Yep.
I know he was Nixon. He was the president in something else too, though?
Yeah.
Oh, is it an old movie or a new movie?
It's pretty new. It's in the 90s.
Pretty new.
Yeah.
All I think of in the 90s is Hannibal Lecter.
Spielberg directed it.
JFK. No, I'm totally lying.
No.
No, it was not JFK. Yeah, no. I don't know that one.
That would be John Quincy Adams in Amistad.
Oh, we talked about that and how I don't like
one,
them.
Huh?
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Okay, number two, you
okay.
got half of that.
Okay,
that
I
was
got
pretty
half
good.
Right.
Number two, John Travolta.
John Travolta was the president in, He had white hair, primary colors.
That's right.
Okay. I never saw that one, but I remember the commercials.
It may have been fictional, but it was very closely related to the life of Bill and Hillary Clinton.
White hair and all.
Number three, Harrison Ford.
Air Force One.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Harrison.
Number four, Kevin Kline.
He was in Dave.
Good job.
I like that one. See. We'll have to talk more about Dave because I really like that portrayal.
Number five, last one, probably the hardest one.
Okay.
Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers? Was that Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah.
I got it. Yay.
You did get it. We have a clip from that one.
Oh, literally. We do? From Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah.
Okay, where am I looking here?
Maybe we should play that one first.
Okay.
Number five.
Okay, got it. All right, so Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Atomic Bomb.
Yep. Well, now, what happened is one of our base commanders, he had a sort of, well, he went a little funny in the head. You know, just a little funny. And he went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country. Well, let me finish, Dimitri. Well, listen, how do you think I feel about it?
He's so funny in that.
Yeah, Peter Sellers is funny in everything. He's a genius.
He's always good, yeah. And he plays multiple characters in that, which is really cool.
Awesome.
Too. So go get that one if you haven't seen it. It's an old one.
Old black and white, and there's a dude riding on an atomic bomb and everything.
Okay, why don't you give me a presidential movie that you like a lot? Because I like Dr. Strangelove.
Gotcha. Well, why don't we launch into Dave? Because I have often thought of this. Now, the premise of Dave, in case you haven't seen it, is that basically the president dies. And they're like, oh, no, we can't let everyone know that the president died. So they get this lookalike, played by Kevin Kline, to come and basically fill in for the president until they can sort things out. And so what happens is that he's just this normal Joe Schmo kind of guy, but he does a really good job as the president. And at one point, he even brings in his friend who's an accountant to fix like the budget of everything in America. And he totally fixes it in like a day.
Well, I have a clip from that very scene. And you didn't even know that was a clip
I
had.
Did not.
And you set it up perfectly.
Okay, well, here's a clip then.
Well, you see, it's designed to bolster individual confidence in a previous domestic automotive purchase.
So we're spending $47 million so that somebody can feel better about a car that they've already bought?
Yes, sir, but I wouldn't characterize it
that way. No, I'm sure that's important, but I don't want to tell some 8-year-old kid that he's got to sleep in the street because we want people to feel better about their car. Do you want to tell him that?
No, sir. No, I sure don't.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons why I really like him is because he's such a relatable, actual American citizen.
He's a real
person.
And he's altruistic. He likes to do good for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's unheard of in politics.
just good for their constituents.
But it's sort of a common theme, you know, maybe drawn from a little bit of that, even though he's a congressman, but Mr. Smith goes to Washington, you know, where the outsider comes in and they have a fresh perspective. They're humble.
Exactly. And then bring in people that they can trust to fix things, like bring in your accountant friend. Why don't we do that? I'm sure that there's accountants out there who would do a better job than the accountants that are in there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, someone who's unbiased and just looking at the numbers instead of who it's going to for what.
Right, there's too many political games, too many special interests.
And get those little kids in homes instead of on the street so people can feel better about their cars.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one of your favorite presidential movies, right?
Yes, it is. Now, I know one of your least favorite ones,
if we're talking about normal people. Over.
Yeah, where it's a normal guy who gets voted into office, Man of the Year.
Okay. And I was tempted to do a Robin Williams show because I hate Robin Williams. But we didn't put it on the slate, so I'll take this opportunity to bash him.
Go for it.
I hate his comedy movies. And I know it's sad because that's where he got his start in stand-up comedy.
But even Mrs. Doubtfire? Because I like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I hate Mrs. Doubtfire. I hate Patch Adams. I hate RV.
RV's terrible.
I hate Death to Smoochie, License to Wed. I mean, Son of Flubber.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that one.
He's got some bad ones. I really love him in some dramatic movies like Dead Again and The Fisher King and Good Will Hunting and Awakenings. But he's terrible. And this is one example of a movie that the plot's just so ridiculous. A comedian is going to run for the president of the United States.
And by accident, people actually really vote for him.
Lots of people run for president who are a joke.
They didn't think it was going to happen.
But never a comedian, an actual comedian, run for president until now. Maybe we should play that clip.
You have a man of the year?
Man of the year, number eight.
Okay.
Of course I have a clip.
I know, you're so prepared. Thank you.
You know, instead of, you know, electing senators and congressmen, let's do it like jury duty. How about that? You know, everybody get a chance to be a senator and congressman. Imagine this, you get a thing in the mail that says, you are in the Senate. Good luck. You get sequestered for 6 months, I guarantee you will pass every law they put in front of you.
See, every time he goes into one of those little rants, even though the writing on that I thought was kind of funny, but everything he does like that just strikes me as the Aladdin character, you know, a little over the top, a little fast, like.
Which in Aladdin it works because that's the character that it's supposed to be.
It's okay, but I don't think he can do anything else except for that pacing, that kind of obnoxious.
When he's being funny, it's always that style.
I always feel like he's trying to be funny. I never feel like it's natural. I don't know why. It just doesn't ring true for me, but maybe for other people.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that's like, oh, I love Robin Williams. And I respect his dramatic work a lot. So.
Yeah, I like him okay. I won't go to a movie just because he's in it. See, I'm messing up my words. I won't go see it if he's
okay,
in it,
Joaquin.
On purpose. Wish I could have been here today, Kevin. But yeah, I have to take him in doses, though. Like, I can't watch a whole thing except for, like, Aladdin or Good Will Hunting. I really do love a lot.
I can watch that every
other
day.
That one's great.
That's a fantastic movie. He won the Oscar for that. Well-deserved.
And he deserved that one. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Another bad one or another good one?
Let's do another funny one.
Okay.
Of one where he's not necessarily supposed to be funny, but he totally is. I love Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks.
Okay.
Let's talk about Mars Attacks.
I don't like the movie. I don't know why.
It's really weird.
It's weird. I know.
It's weird, but I like it.
I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, well, it's meant to be kind of a spoof on those old, like, those old Mars movies, you know, with the aliens and everything. It's supposed to look kind of fake, but updated. You know, but it was too silly for me. I couldn't get into it.
But if you're having a silly, weird movie, you have to put someone in the role of the president when it's going to be silly and weird to have that person play the president.
Yeah.
Because I love Jack Nicholson, but I would never imagine him as a president.
And I still can't imagine him even after this performance.
Even after this.
If you play the clip, I think this is what we call a phoned-in performance.
Okay,
just like,
phoned in.
I'm Jack Nicholson. I'm the
president. Okay, let's see how he does as the president. Okay.
Extraterrestrial life. You're right, Jerry. The people are going to love it. This is a momentous occasion.
Mr. President, we have
to go all needy on this. I'll wear my blue Cerruti suit. And Jerry, I'll need a good speech. Statesmanlike, historical, and yet warm and neighborly. Abraham Lincoln meets Leave It to Beaver. You know the sort of thing.
Okay.
I did like the laugh at the end, like Leave It to Beaver. You know, I like that at the end, but you know, it's just it's a normal cadence that he always does.
Yes.
I imagine him talking like that in a conversation.
He probably really would.
I
don't know. It's not necessarily my favorite performance of his or my favorite movie ever. I just thought it was a really clever combination because you would never imagine in this kooky movie that he would be the president.
I didn't hate it. I just, I give it like a C+, you know?
Yeah, okay, that's
fair.
I
thought it was moderately entertaining, but it wasn't like that good. And Tim Burton and Danny Elfman teaming up again. And
maybe that's why I like it so much.
The music's really good. I like Danny Elfman.
Okay, why don't you give me one that you love then?
Okay, I was debating between Dr. Strangelove, which we've already mentioned, and this other movie I think is my favorite presidential movie of all time.
I'm so excited. Which one?
I got to go with The American President.
It's so good.
I watch it. The writing's so good, and I watch it every time it comes on. I cannot move past it.
Yeah. Now, that one, for some reason, I feel like that one's more underrated. Not a lot of people are familiar
really
with
underrated.
This one. Because it's Michael Douglas and
He's a widower, not a widow. Widower.
Yes.
And
Can't I think of Sheen's first name?
And Martin Sheen. His chief of staff.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox is in it. He's phenomenal in it. And Annette Bening's really cute in it too. She plays this environmental lobbyist who's obviously maybe got a conflict of interest, but they fall in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a scene where they're about to be intimate with each other.
I love this scene. And that wasn't pervy of me, I promise.
And it's him feeling a little anxious about it and him talking to her about it.
Okay.
My nervousness exists on several levels. Number one, and this is in no particular order, I haven't done this in a pretty long time. Number two, any expectations that you might have given the fact that I'm, you know...
The most powerful man in the world.
Exactly, thank you. I think it's important you remember that's a political distinction that comes with the office. I mean, if Eisenhower were here instead of me, he'd be dead by now.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so good in that, you know? And I like the part at the end where, you know how this guy that's running against him for the presidency, it's played by Richard Dreyfuss. He plays such a jerk.
Is that the one where he's like,
he's always
I'm running for president.
And then at the end, Michael Douglas gives this big speech. He was like, I'm Shepherd's his last name, and I am the president.
I just got goosebumpy.
It's so good.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you bring up an interesting point. I love the rousing political speeches that the president gives to kind of rally the troops, whether they be citizens or actual troops or things. I love a good presidential speech.
So, and we have a couple illustrations of that. Okay. And I know there's one that you really like a lot, number seven there. So why don't we play your favorite presidential speech?
Okay.
But as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah, nice and dramatic it against is. The aliens.
It's a little over dramatic, but I can't help but be a little bit affected by it.
Exactly. It's so patriotic because it's not just like us against them as far as within the earth.
It's
the whole earth is us against them, the aliens.
We're united against the aliens.
I like it. It was very patriotic and moving for me. And my friend David Sorensen said that when he saw that in the theater, he stood up and cheered. He was like, yeah. I don't know if he actually did. He said he did.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I just think it's fun, though. I thought that one was one that where I was just like, ooh. And even though it was over the top in Hollywood, like at the end of Jurassic Park when the banner falls in front of T-Rex, I felt like it was like that because I forgive it for being over the top just because I like the
rest. But I'm wondering why it drops down a level for me every single time I see it instead of getting better.
Well, I don't know either. It's good.
I think Randy Quaid. See, I'm doing
What up, Joaquin?
Randy Quaid ruins it for me almost every time. And I don't like Bill Pullman.
You don't like Bill Pullman?
I think he did a good job on that speech, but he's kind of a nut. He's kind of bland.
I will say that,
you know? And he just has a look about him that's not very intriguing. He just looks like...
Well, I didn't think he looked like a president. For some reason, he just never seemed very presidential to me. He just didn't have that air of confidence
about
him.
He's kind of weak the whole movie until that speech.
Yeah, which is maybe why I like the speech so much. It was the fun turning point of where I took him seriously.
Maybe I'm talking myself into it, which self-persuasion is always one of the most powerful forms of persuasion.
It is very powerful.
Kevin, you will like this movie.
Yeah.
But my brother, Eric, who was with us a couple weeks ago, he said that I have to bring up the bad presidential speech, since we're on the presidential speech.
Okay.
And that's number four there.
Okay.
With the great Morgan Freeman.
Really? Because I kind of liked this
one, too. Asteroid is hurling toward the Earth.
Yeah.
What shall we do?
Maybe it's just because it's Morgan Freeman and I like him. But
he's boring in this, too, like Jack Nicholson.
Let me give this a listen. I'll see how this goes.
Okay. You'll change your mind.
We've been preparing a network of immense caves, and they're almost finished. And we can put 1 million people in them. And that 1 million people can survive there, underground, for 2 years, until the air clears and the dust settles. Now, the cave is more than a dormitory. It's our new Noah's Ark. We're storing seeds and seedlings, plants, animals, enough to start over. On August 10th, a computer will randomly select 800,000 Americans to join the 200,000 scientists, doctors, engineers, teachers, soldiers, and artists who have already been chosen.
Okay, that clip was way too long. I was getting bored during that.
I think that one, it helps, though, with the visuals, because at that point when he's given the speech, it's doing the panning of the crowd and everyone's listening intently in all these different locations.
No.
And then...
You're actually wrong.
Am I? It's been a while.
The shot is just straight at his desk.
But I thought when it went to the announcer voice that it was showing Elijah Wood and his family. Was it not?
Not part of that clip, right?
Oh,
there.
Man. Maybe that is too long and boring then.
Yeah. And his voice isn't that interesting in that either.
No, because normally his voice is amazing.
Yeah, so disappointing. I didn't like the movie. Deep Impact, yeah. Armageddon. They came out at the same time.
They did. I favor Armageddon, actually. I went for the blockbuster factor.
I favor it, too, and that's not saying much, either. Because they're both kind of silly, you know?
Well, it's an asteroid coming to the Earth, Kevin. Disaster movies are almost always silly. Almost. The 70s are an absolute exclusion. All the disaster movies of the 70s are awesome.
Oh, like Poseidon Adventure, yeah. Towering Inferno.
An earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we might have to have one of these days.
Yeah.
Disaster movies.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to work that in sometime.
Right.
Okay, but I'll tell you what, though. If Morgan Freeman actually did run for the presidency in real life, I'd probably vote for him.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few of the people. I would also vote for Kevin Kline. If he ran for president, I just like him.
I would vote for Kevin Kline or Michael Douglas. I would not vote for Bill Pullman. I would not vote for Morgan Freeman.
You wouldn't?
Well,
it's like the Oprah factor. They're at the same level for me.
It depends on his... That I'd have to look at his political platform, but I suspect... that he might be a little too conservative for my taste.
Okay, I know I am a bit of a liberal too. I don't know why I said that. I just like Morgan Freeman.
No, I don't know what his political beliefs are.
Would you vote for Harrison Ford?
No.
What? Why not?
Because
when he's like,
No, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Indiana Jones and the King of the Crystal Skull.
Dang it, just because of that.
You were waiting for me to work that in. I was waiting for my opportunity.
He's so good, though, when he's like fighting Gary Oldman.
He is really good, and he beats the crap out of that guy in the lower deck. You know?
I like
he's tough.
Yeah, a commander-in-chief who can actually knock a guy out.
But he's a little emotional, though. You know,
well, his family is being held hostage, Kevin. You would be emotional too.
I guess it depends on how close you are to your family. I'm just kidding. I would definitely
be
emotional.
You would be.
Do want to shout out Happy Valentine's Day to my beautiful wife, Stacy, who's definitely listening.
Hi, Stacy.
And her birthday's on Monday too. So happy President's Day / birthday. So
and Valentine's Day. That's nice.
And Valentine's Day. And our anniversary was last week. So it's a busy time for us.
Oh, man.
Very busy.
You're probably broke, aren't you?
Actually, I won't comment on that.
Oh, okay. So back to the president's final thoughts as we're wrapping up.
Oh, we're almost to the end?
Yeah.
That's only been... All right.
I know. And then we'll do final thoughts, and then I have a mailbag to end with.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
okay.
I do. Okay, so final thoughts on presidents.
Final thoughts on presidents. I'm getting a little bored with the bio pictures, the biopics.
So like Nixon and JFK.
Nixon, JFK, W.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about how in W, you heard something or you read something.
Oh, yeah. My quote from Entertainment Weekly.
Read your
Weekly.
Quote,
I
disagree. Okay. I disagree with what he's saying.
Okay.
Here.
So I have this article from Entertainment Weekly where Oliver Stone was doing an interview about it, and people were giving him a lot of grief about doing all these serious picks like JFK and things, and then now all of a sudden W has some kind of funny moments to it, and he's just like, shut up, whatever. But here's what he actually says, talking about why this one is a little funnier. He says, Bush is not a complex and dark man, so it's different. This movie can be funnier because Bush is funny. He's awkward and goofy and makes faces all the time. He's not your average president, so let's have some fun with it.
I respect that he's trying to do that, but I was looking for another JFK and Nixon. I really like those pictures. This one didn't have the dark edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of run-of-the-mill. I studied politics, you know, rhetoric, and so it just seemed like every scene in the movie was like, I'm saying like too much.
I say like a lot,
too. Many fillers. Anyway, it seemed like every piece of the movie was like a Wikipedia entry or something like that. Like, oh, remember that time when Bush said declared victory and the war in Iraq? Let's have that scene.
And just doing
remember
the highlights
that time
and low
we did
lights.
That? Yeah, it was sort of dull that way.
Rather than all-encompassing.
I did like Josh Brolin in that, though. I know you haven't seen it yet, but it's kind of jarring at first to see him because he doesn't look exactly like Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point in the movie, I closed my eyes and I listened to him, and I think he's spot on.
Nice.
I don't know if we have time for this, but can we play one more?
Oh, yes. We,
number 14.
We can make time. Here's W.
That's a defense, General, not an offense. How are you going to contain 100,000 of these lunatics running around the world with fake passports from country to country looking for nukes, anthrax? Containment don't hold water, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to get hit again. We all know that. Unless we go out there and we hit them hard and we hit them first.
Well, containment won us the Cold War, sir.
Well, some people might just say that Reagan won the Cold War, General. And it all started with the Empire of Evil speech. What do you think, Rummy?
Doesn't that sound exactly like
him? Yeah, that's amazing.
We're always talking about things that don't translate well to the radio. Like I said, I was going to juggle today, and I made a joke about that, like how that wouldn't work for the radio.
Too juggling.
But this works. This gives people a sense of how good he is without having the distraction of seeing that I know what Bush looks like. I've seen him for all these years, and Josh Brolin doesn't. The guy does about as well as anybody can do that doesn't look like George W. Bush. So
I like it.
I applaud that and I respect that.
Thumbs up, Josh
Brolin.
But
I want the movie to have more of an edge. It's kind of boring.
Gotcha. Yeah,
anyway, that's my final thought on
that. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up with a mailbag.
Okay.
This one is thoroughly entertaining to me because sometimes you like to say that I'm wrong and I like to think that I'm right. And I have evidence now that I'm right.
Well, last week I had evidence that you were wrong.
I know. And now I have counter evidence.
Well, it might just be a wash. Let's see.
So Julie from Henderson, Nevada emailed us. Let me pull this out here.
Henderson.
Yes. Henderson, Nevada. Where I'm from, I may or may not know her. I'm not going to disclose that.
Oh, geez.
This is what she said.
The fix is in.
She says, Kevin, you're wrong. Angie is a genius who is always right. Julie.
That's it? That's like the letter?
She's concise. I like it.
No, but the thing is, you're talking about how you're trying to use that as evidence.
It is.
Well, let's look at the evidence that she uses in there.
I'm right. That's evidence enough.
No, tell me what evidence is in there.
Kevin, she uses our names. That's fact.
That's no.
She couples Kevin and wrong in the same sentence. That's evidence.
Well, there's a consistency.
And
there,
the fact that I'm a genius. If you're a genius, you're always right. And she said I was a genius, so I'm always right.
But she has no evidence that you're a genius.
Yeah, she does.
What's her evidence?
My existence.
I could see this as a futile argument that's going nowhere.
So we'll just have to see what other people say.
Come on, somebody write into the mailbag and break this tie in my favor, please.
No, my favor.
Okay.
Okay, tell us our mailbag address one more time.
MovieTimePodcast@gmail.com.
Gmail, not Hotmail.
Okay,
Gmail.
Let's give them a heads up on what's happening next week because we got kind of a weird schedule going.
Okay.
Next Friday, we're doing the pre-Oscar show. So we'll talk about our picks and anticipations of what's going to happen, what we hope will happen, what we think will happen. And then instead of waiting for the next Friday, we're coming back on Monday right after the ceremony.
I got to clear it with the people to swap shifts.
Oh, we should have done that. Okay.
But that's the plan.
Assuming Angie can use her persuasive skills, assuming she is the genius that she proclaims to be.
Oh, I am.
We will be airing at 2 o'clock on next Friday and again at 2 o'clock on Monday with the post.
Right after the Oscars. So we can talk about them right away.
Yes.
I don't want to wait a week to analyze.
Nope. We'll be fired up and ready to go.
Exactly. And speaking of being fired up and ready to go, we are. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
See ya.
This has been a production of Movie Time with Kevin Stein here on Angie's regular air shift.